Hey, good afternoon, everyone. It's Thursday, and the time is around 2 o'clock, and we're in the end of the month of October, and we're looking at an article from, Barbed Wire, and it's Breaking Ryan's Support, Homosexual Civil Rights. Bill sent me about three articles, and this is the one I picked, especially in light of the way, and I don't know how many of you saw it last night, but they pressed Ben Carson to explain why he was on a board of the company called Costco, in which has been very pro-gay, and they can't figure out how a Christian can serve on a board of a corporation that is pro-gay. And what Carson attempted to do was distinguish between his personal beliefs in marriage being defined as one man and one woman, and his allegiance to a constitution that he thinks should not discriminate against sexual orientation. Okay, so that's kind of where Carson tried to define the line. And the crowd was pretty happy with his answer. This is articles by Linda Carter. The date is 23 October 2015. And Bill, how'd you find it? Facebook?
No, I think it's, I get a, every other day or so, Reform America or something like that email, and I get 12 or 15 articles in the email.
Yeah, you could spend a lot of time reading articles if you wanted to, couldn't you?
Yeah. Flipboard is a good app. I have probably 20 or 25 labels it looks for things. All the world religions I teach throughout the year, all the big figures in church history, and it just goes and looks through all the outlets and sends it to that app, and so you can see 100, 150 articles on any given topic, just sent to one app. It's really easy to stay up if you want to on a particular topic.
Dave, we're getting some pretty good numbers on our article, our podcast that we did on Monday.
Yeah.
On tongues.
I got a couple comments.
Yeah,
on
a couple good comments. And so if you haven't listened to that, check that out. We're trying to distinguish what's going on in 1 Corinthians 14, and is John MacArthur right? All right, Brian, start us off.
Is this a trick? Certainly not a treat.
Oh, that was clever.
Oh, yeah. America may be handed a speaker who will open the door for the gay lobby to achieve its fondest dream, even beyond marriage. It is highly likely prospective House Speaker Paul Ryan would support Homosexual Civil Rights Bill H.R. 3185 because he cast a vote for its young sister, ENDA, in 2007. And he apparently thinks people are born homosexual because he has gay friends. Such appalling ignorance or blindness is completely unacceptable in the leader of the House of Representatives. Here's what one article said about his support for homosexuality. He has occasionally broken with his party by taking more centrist stands on foreign policy and some issues. In 2007, he supported the Employee Non-Discrimination Act, banning workplace discrimination against gays and lesbians, and he said he has gay friends. They didn't roll out of bed one morning and choose to be gay. That's who they are, he said, acknowledging he took a lot of grief for the ENDA vote from members of his own party, so much so that he stopped worrying about it. He says his attitude towards gay is a generational thing, less important to him than older people, perhaps. And he is willing to go along with whatever the generals have proposed regarding gays in the military. So if there's a push for transvestites in the military, will Ryan back that too and label the opposition as irrelevant older people? Let's just think about the specter of a Speaker of the House who supports the current horrific so-called equality introduced in H.R. 3185, and S. 1858 in July, just after the SCOTUS marriage decision. This legislation is the evil twin of Obergefell, providing the ammunition for the LGBT tyranny to be enforced.
All right, let's stop for a minute because I think we may be losing some listeners pretty quickly. So, David, what's Obergefell? What's he making reference to there?
Obergefell's the decision that the Supreme Court laid down in the summertime that basically legalized gay marriage across the country.
It's really the Roe versus Wade,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of our lifetime, exactly. isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good parallel.
And so we're not as familiar with it as we probably should be, but it will be what people talk about for the next 30 years in the same way. And then this Equality Act introduced in the House of Representatives, H.R. and Senate, S for Senate. These are these bills that are working through to deal with sexual orientation in the workplace and how it affects whether a person is discriminated against or not, in essence. So it's the top priority, the article says, of the major homosexual group right now, and the vaults across any previous anti-discrimination bill to essentially wipe out free speech and religious liberty on the issues of homosexuality and gender change by declaring these behaviors to be civil rights in America. Is the author exaggerating? Do we know?
What if she's half right?
Okay.
I wouldn't want the dude in charge of my doghouse if he's if she's half right, if the author's half right. You know, if he's even leaning towards the idea that sexual orientation is the same as ethnicity, that is wrong on 100 levels. It minimizes the sacrifice of the blacks of the 60s who really did fight for civil rights and really were born with the pigmentation of their skin, the melanin levels contained in their skin. You know, it's wrong on that level. It's wrong to be in a conservative platform and lean in the other direction. I honestly don't know how this avoided my attention for so long about him.
All right. Well, first of all, it says he wasn't on the radar. That's why it avoided your attention. He hasn't come on the radar until the current House Speaker resigned, and they've had such a struggle for the last 4 weeks in finding a replacement. And now Paul Ryan has came through as a potential candidate that both sides, the most conservative side of the Republicans and the liberal side, can somehow agree upon in order to get the 230-some votes that are necessary to make him a Speaker of the House.
Well, and certainly the other issue is that, you know, in many ways, you know, people like me feel like, well, I can't even vote on this issue. I have zero control over. I mean, what am I going to write a letter of dissent?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that will do. I mean, we're talking about voting for the Speaker of the House, which we understand can be potentially a powerful position about what bills are introduced and how things go down, that we actually have very, very little impact at changing.
Absolutely.
Well, constitutionally, you have less impact on who the president is. I mean, electoral votes, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires a popular vote for the electorates of your state to go to the president. Nothing.
Right.
So, but we take an interest in that. So,
right, but certainly one would argue that the same disenfranchisement happens in that level because you know, here in North Carolina just a few years ago, the people spoke and then it was overturned by a party
sure.
you couldn't control.
Certainly.
Or 49% can vote one way and it really doesn't matter because all the electoral votes are going the other way because 51% won.
So and 49, yes, in 48 states it's winner take all.
Yes.
Nebraska and Maine are the exception.
And so my point is that's how we can just let it slip.
Electoral votes,
because after
right.
a while it's just...
Now, I think that the hyperbole in the article for me is, let's just think about the specter of a Speaker of the House who supports this. Well, we just had one 4 years ago, and her name was Nancy Pelosi. So let's not paint this fact that Paul Ryan is the worst possible speaker to ever come in. Obviously, we don't agree with what's going on here, and we didn't agree with much of what Boehner did either. But to paint this like this is the first Speaker of the House that would ever support this, we've had plenty that would have gone right along the lines with this. So it's an over-villainization, I think, even if we do have some.
Maybe the shock is the party,
here.
Though, right?
Is yeah, I think that's the call-out part, is that this guy was your vice presidential nominee 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's the shocking part.
And that's what I'm saying. We feel like, as conservatives and Christians, and, you know, how the way that people roll those two things together, you know, typically, we listen to, you know, talk radio or whatever that rants on our side at times, we feel like we're kind of in control of that game, what my party thinks. But the reality is now we're not even in control of that.
Well, let me be ridiculously pragmatic to the point where I'll be eligible for rebuke. Okay? If you ask me what my greatest concern for the future of America is it civil rights for gays? I would answer to you, no. That from a pragmatic perspective, my greatest concern for the future of America is the $18 trillion that we're in debt. And if there's anybody in the House of Representatives that has an understanding of the scope of the problem and has the potential of creating a solution, it's Paul Ryan.
Yeah, he is the economic guru.
Right, he's the architect of the plan several years ago that looked like a decent roadmap to get us there. So am I in your camp, Bill, with regard to disgusted that he thinks that sexual orientation is born versus a choice? The answer is yes. But at some form or fashion, I feel like the fight is over for that.
Well, and the other thing I'd like to see in the article is just because he voted for the Non-Discrimination Act in whenever it was,
2007,
I'd like to see a quote from Paul Ryan saying, I support H.R. 3185. She's making an assumption that because he voted for this, he's going to vote for this. And, where did he say that? Because I don't know that he's going to vote for it. Because obviously this H.R. 3185 is much different than Non-Discrimination Act. I mean, I can read that Non-Discrimination Act and say, okay, I understand that. You know, I understand somebody wanting to pass a law that someone's lifestyle doesn't disqualify them from a certain job. We may not agree with that, but I can see the logic behind that one, whereas this one is saying you can't speak out against it, you can't, you know, it's going to take away free speech, it's going to take away religious liberty. That's a totally different ballgame, and if he's going to support that, well, we've got a major problem. But I'd like to hear him say it before we just make assumptions that, well, he voted for that, so he's definitely going to vote for this.
Well, no, he may not. Right. And the author's saying, and on top of that, he has gay friends.
Yeah.
Right, which, whatever that means, right?
I think the point was that he thinks that it's possibly genetic.
Yes.
Because he has gay friends.
And I'm sure there are plenty of other Republicans that believe the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the dominant view now.
It's
outside of folks like
majority.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that on that stage last night, probably Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and Ben Carson. Think with me about who else is on there. Who else do you think?
Well, I know that all the sensationalists out there that just think Trump is the man. You bet. Don't be fooled into thinking he isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Pro-homo.
Oh,
you
of course.
Better believe he is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Because he's pro-sin, and so you have to.
Yeah,
be
he's
pro-homo.
As progressive.
Right.
He's as progressive.
Right. Because he's smart enough to understand what the Christians don't is that all sin is sin.
Right.
And so, you know, and like Dave said, we can certainly understand. Okay, I'm not going to deny a guy a job, you know, based on his sexual orientation, because then what I have to do is deny, you know, somebody who swears all the time or something. You know, if you're a Christian and you're going to base it on sin, then base it on sin. And obviously there's some complexities to that, because we certainly here wouldn't hire somebody who disagrees with our biblical view on the matter.
Right.
But, you know, say I'm running a chainsaw business, you know, and it has no issue with that, you know, where am I going to... And then certainly we wouldn't agree with those who want to beat people up. You know, of course that's a civil rights violation. So on one hand we could say, sure, you know, if you're going down the street looking for someone that looks queer and you're beating the snot out of them, that's a civil rights, that's a human rights violation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, however, that can't be the answer every time. You know, because do I want someone like that watching children? Absolutely not. I'm not going to hire them to work in a daycare. Why? Because I'm thinking about the situation. I'm not just following my party's talking point. I'm thinking about what's at issue here. And I'm afraid we've gone away from that. And what we want is we've got this party that says one thing and stands for this. We've got this party that says the opposite and stands for this. And then they try to manufacture these arguments to try to persuade the other side and the voters. And half the arguments don't hold water because they're not based on rational thinking. They're just based on these knee-jerk reactions to situations and buzzwords.
Well, last night we had, I think, 10 people on the stage.
That's right.
Right. So Ron Paul, we know where he would stand on that issue. He's not a evangelical perspective on
that.
He's
a libertarian, so he's going to let a lot of that stuff go.
Absolutely. We know where Chris Christie would be. He's in New Jersey, okay? That's a no-brainer. We know where Jeb Bush is going to be on that. He's okay with nearly everything. So we know where Trump's going to be on that issue. We know where John Kasich's going to be on that issue, because Kasich said he goes to gay weddings. So, you know, easily I just named five. We know where Trump's going to be. I'm not sure where Marco Rubio is, but Marco Rubio doesn't come across as a strong evangelical. He's not a Ted Cruz. He's much more of an American. He's much more of a patriot is where his perspective is. I guess my point is, how many candidates are we ever going to see now that lines up with us on these issues?
Well, I think what you're going to see is candidates not making this an issue. I think that's the new thrust of the Republican Party is let's drop the social issues and you know do what we have a reputation of doing, which is economics and things like that, and let's make that our platform. Whereas you know from the 80s on,
mm-hmm.
the
moral majority,
Falwell and those guys that made evangelical issues a big part of politics and Reagan along with that, I think our new incarnation of the Republican Party is one that doesn't want to deal with these issues because they feel like they've lost. Like you said, they felt like that ship has sailed. Okay, let's let it go and let's not take a stand on moral issues. I think that's it's the politically expedient thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the moral thing to do, but it's the politically expedient thing to do. And I think that's what we're going to see more and more.
Well, that's why our House of Representatives is so divided.
Right.
Yeah. Because we have two Republican parties.
There's still a group that wants to hang on to those issues.
Yeah, Ted Cruz is that group, and he's not electable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. He's not electable. And we can say unfortunate all we want, but that's the world that we're living in. Bill, did you have a comment? Looks like
I have all kinds, but no, it's okay. No.
So where are we at in the article?
It's the top priority of the major homosexual groups right now and vaults across any previous anti-discrimination bill. To essentially wipe out free speech and religious liberty on the issue of homosexuality and gender change by declaring these behaviors to be civil rights in America. The Equality Act seeks to revise the 1964 Civil Rights Act to add categories of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex, with sex including even delusions of femininity and masculinity, not limited to actual biology. Religious Freedom Restoration Acts are declared to be powerless under this bill. Other religious exemptions for churches and faith-based schools are very weak and sure to be challenged as the Gestapo deploys... I appreciate that. That's fun. Right. The Gestapo deploys armies of lawyers to undermine the Constitution. Under this act, the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause can justify investigations by the U.S. Attorney General of suspected violations. The House bill has 170 co-sponsors, with 39 in the Senate. All, so far, are Democrats and independents. Microsoft, Apple, Google, and other corporations have pledged support for this anti-Christian, anti-American bill. So Republicans may start taking heat from Wall Street to Wall Street to back this unconstitutional power grab.
Yeah, my only problem here is that this is all speculation, and we're a long way from passing this bill.
Right. Well, she said right there that so far all we have is Democrats.
Yeah. There's not one Republican.
Right. So why do we think that the House, the Speaker of the House, is going to go against what
his entire party?
Right.
Just elected him as the Speaker. That's quite a jump in my mind. And not only even if he did, we need what? 70 more Republicans to jump on board and 15 more Republicans in the Senate to jump on board or whatever it is. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, but we may be jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think the Republicans are that stupid. They are stupid, but I don't think they're that stupid because they do understand that there are these people called voters that put them in office.
If there's anything that we've seen in Congress in recent years is that Republicans and Democrats do not work together. And if it's a Democrat-sponsored bill, Republicans don't vote for it. And if it's a Republican-sponsored bill, Democrats don't vote for it. And it's got to get through two houses and a president.
Yeah, they don't even stand up and clap at the State of the Union address in together.
You know, it's like the House passing the repeal of the Obamacare thing. What do you do? It doesn't mean a thing because it's not going to get past the Senate and it's not going to get past Obama's desk.
Mm-hmm. But it did secure some re-election for some people.
Probably,
and
that's
totally
that's
sort of
blue.
The point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it holds up stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these issues, even those that are deemed to be unelectable, they kind of hold back the progress of certain things. I mean, we talk about this concept when we talk about the Holy Spirit holding back acts of sin on the earth. I mean, the more that this is in the public debate and forum, the more we just can't plow forward through it, because mm-hmm. they sense in a real way that there are voters out there who are against some of mm-hmm. these things, and so they're a little bit reticent to make a move. Now, eventually, will they make a move? Probably. But it's many years later than when it actually started to roll.
Well, I think about Kentucky, and I think about the great pushback that occurred with a clerk. What was her name?
Kim Davis.
Right. I'm not signing a thing. And so what's the pushback going to look like the first preacher that's jailed because he's mm-hmm. preaching against homosexuality? How many are going to fly in? How many Huckabees are going to be there?
Right.
You talk about making mm-hmm. national news. I mean, I just don't think that Republicans are going to want to be on the wrong. I mean, I've got all my pastor friends locally that think that we're losing our tax-exempt status next year. You know, they asked me, what steps are you doing right now to get ready to lose your tax-exempt status? And I said, none. I'm not doing anything. You know, I just don't think that we've lost it to that degree in America that we're going to see it tomorrow. I think that if the nation gets crazy about a clerk in Kentucky who won't sign a certificate, what's going to happen on a given Sunday where 100 preachers all over 50 states are arrested and jailed because they won't? Because I'm willing to do that. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm willing to step up the plate and go to jail for a few days. I ain't afraid of being in jail. You know, it's not something that terrifies me. I don't think that I would get mugged and tore up and beat to death in jail. And you see, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, to make a stand. So I think the envelope, even if the bill was to pass, is what I'm saying, Dave, I think that there would be enough pushback in the form of going to court over it to get it overturned or at least a modification made.
Yeah, I think they realize that they still desperately need the evangelical vote. They can't win without it. And so it's not nearly what it was. It's not that same force, but it is they need to get 100% of the evangelical vote. So they're not going to step out. And
I think we want to make a distinction, at least I would. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you guys. The difference between the preacher in the pulpit condemning homosexuality as sin and the manager at McDonald's calling somebody a fag. I don't see them as the same. You come into this building to be preached at. You come into this building because you have a commonality. You come into here because you share values. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we think we can go back to being a Christian nation if we were ever a Christian nation.
I don't know. There's some workplaces that talk about values. And you kick the can down the road and say we're a family-friendly organization, that kind of thing. You know, eventually you're going to have to define that.
You're right. I agree with you, Billy. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, the biggest one that comes to mind is the public schools. I mean, once again, we're talking about a potential play. I don't even want to use the word potential. It's going on. Indoctrination.
Sure.
Right. I mean, so their business is information. And they hold all the cards about what they're going to tell these children.
Yep.
And so that is a vulnerability that I'm extremely uncomfortable with, giving them lock, stock, and barrel to tell them.
They already have it.
Right.
They already have it.
Not over my children because they don't go to their school.
You're right. But this bill will not impact what's happening in classrooms. It's that battle's gone already in the classrooms. There's already fags teaching.
Sure.
I mean, that's already happening. That's done.
And the groundwork for saying that your sexual sin is equal to your ethnicity has already been laid for years and years and years in the public school.
Well, that's the narrative, yeah. I mean, that's the accepted narrative. So to think, I mean, and isn't that the agenda anyway? If they can get into the schools, they've won because they can start indoctrinating at an early age. You know, it's tougher to change somebody like us and our view on things. But if I can get a hold of the 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, I can pretty much get them where I need them to go.
Sure, we've seen that in our own academy with their own graduates, how fast they'll flip just being outside the umbrella of Christian education. Right. So certainly it is a problem. Clearly, being a Christian is going to mean something more in the months, years to come in America. There will be less people that openly say, I'm a Christian.
Which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing.
Seems to clearly be setting a stage for what's in the book of Revelation.
I mean, was it
was it Russell Moore or Al Mohler, one of those guys did an article a while, but I think it was Russell Moore, and he said it, this is actually a good thing, because the ones that we're losing are the pseudo-Christians.
Yeah,
the ones that we're losing are the ones that will not take a stand if anything negative comes their way. They've used Christianity for their positive aspects of their life so far. Now they see an advantage of switching to the other side, so they're going to switch to the other side. Mm-hmm. They were never of us anyway. Mm-hmm. And so the ones that stay and stand the test of whatever persecution is coming down the pike, we'll know who's on our team now.
Yeah, to be fair, though, I think that where I think that it does become damaging is when people spin off and start a church that is sympathetic to it
and call themselves another name.
But still label themselves within the same, you know, like under the same king that we would, you know, like we would call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, and trust me, they'll go the same way and do the same thing. And like, you know, it's just like with Mormonism, you know, like there, people love to classify Mormonism as Christianity. I mean, it's not the same thing, so don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, you know, there are a lot of, you know, like you talk to most Mormons and they'll consider themselves Christians.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's a cult of Christianity. You know, it's not even a sect of Christianity, or it's not a radical sect of Christianity. It's a cult of Christianity. But there are still a lot of people that lump them into the same thing. And that's, I think, a danger that I think that's where it's going to hit hard.
I think we're already there.
We're already there.
Well, we've said it before. There's no way to go down the evolutionary road for this group.
Yeah.
They've got it, you know, and now it's just getting even further with this whole, you know, biology doesn't even matter anymore. Gender doesn't even matter. You just choose what gender you are now. Well, I can't justify that scientifically. They're getting even further away from good science. So I think that's what you're going to see is they've got to go, God made me this way. God messed up and he just put me in the wrong body. And so, a loving Jesus wants me to be who I want to be. And I think you're going to see just more and more of that. I think it's a good point.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at the end of the road, I think what it might eventually come down to is that, like, how easy is it to find the true church again? It's going to get really hard. It's hard enough as it is.
Go look in jail. It's hard enough as it is.
You know, I hear that from people all the time. I go to a church, and if the preacher's not, you know, asking me for money every single Sunday so that he can, you know, drive a new Escalade or something like that, or have a new G6, you know, it's like, you know, people say that sort of stuff. These are things that they, you know, that they comment to me about, you know, about their kind of problem with their trials in finding a good church, and I'm like, come to mind, right? But that is a serious issue, and I think that that's kind of where I think that it can complicate this, is that, you know, I think it will flood it with even more people that form churches that don't look like what I think the biblical model sets up, and have a worldview that looks very different from what I think Scripture values.
Think what terms have been corrupted. I mean, Baptist doesn't mean Baptist anymore. Methodist doesn't mean Methodist. Wesleyan doesn't mean Wesleyan. Presbyterian doesn't mean Presbyterian, because you could get any shade of anything with that label on the church. And so, you know, and then other words have been demonized, like fundamentalist, like things like that, you know. So, you know, what do we do when the society redefines terms? You know, do we change our terms? Do we get up and defend our terms more, you know,
aggressively?
More aggressive? There's got to be something, because we know we can go to plenty of Baptist churches around this country that are not Baptist churches.
We don't have to leave leave the city.
Right.
Right. We don't have to leave the city. We have plenty of congregations that are right on the edge of Marion Gaines. All right, let's finish up the article.
And the Equality Act would open the door to proudly gender-bending people in our armed forces.
Isn't that already moving in that direction?
Yeah, we're there already.
Yeah.
Yep.
Beyond the speaker selection, we must ask every presidential candidate, as president, will you pledge to veto the Anti-Family Equality Act? Yes. GOP majorities occupy both chambers of Congress, but that is little comfort, seeing how easily a conservative like Governor Mike Pence in Indiana caved on religious freedom under corporate pressure. And with a Paul Ryan at the helm in the House, there may be an added arm twisting of GOP members to cooperate with the legalization of deviance. This version may die at the end of the 114th Congress, but it won't go away. The Human Rights Campaign, the pro-abortion lobby, and leftist politicians will bring it back in the 115th. So we need to know where GOP candidates and leaders stand. If you support religious liberty, or say you do, you cannot support the Equality Act. It hands the left a weapon to kill religious liberty and freedom of speech. The sexual anarchy lobby has a talking point ready for their denial of religious freedom. Being Christian doesn't give you the right to discriminate. Obama regurgitated this unconstitutional idea in a New York speech in September. Well, thankfully, LGBT pressure groups do not dictate Christian doctrine. Our Almighty God has already done that. And the sexual rebellion lobby defines discrimination as any opinion they don't like, even if the view is based on reality. Homosexuality is not inborn, it's not like race, and the behavior is harmful to individuals and societies. These identities and attractions do not characterize separate types of persons, as the Obergefell majority ruling incorrectly assumed. So they are not defensible under a responsible reading of the 14th Amendment. As I wrote in a column a few months ago, the left now presumes to tell us what to believe. Christianity is a target to be obliterated or revised with homosexuality no longer a sin. Humans no longer distinctly male and female, abortion a right for females, and believers painted into a narrow doctrinal corner if we let them do this. We must not let them do this. This bill should be priority number one to defeat this year, next year, and as long as it takes. Everyone needs to make it clear to congressional representatives that this fascist attempt to dismantle the First Amendment, to defy parental authority, and to drive Christians out of jobs simply cannot happen. We need to try in the next few days to urge our reps to vote against Paul Ryan for this reason, among others. The authority to silence believers that the Equality Act would provide Christ's enemies would leap beyond homosexuality and gender confusion. It's tyranny, and only we, the people, rising up and saying no will stop this.
You know what? If the author didn't finish with such a Tower of Babel tone, we the people, we're going to rise up. I sometimes think that they're really intending on making it through life. Linda Harvey here and people like her really do fear the cross. We're already told we're supposed to carry it, and we are foaming at the mouth to avoid it.
Where in Acts am I told that I have to suffer to enter the kingdom?
14, 13.
I'm not a citizen of this kingdom. I mean, I got dual citizenship. My heart's in heaven. My focus is on my Savior. Right. Will I vote? Will I do certain things? But she acts like God is not sovereign.
Yeah.
This is of paramount importance.
Right.
Men and women are not dying and going to hell. This is the single greatest issue on the planet.
Christianity is a target to be obliterated. Well, you know what? It's been a target to be obliterated since day one.
And I think our Lord said something about that the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Do we believe that or not?
Right, really. I mean, do we have a promise from the Lord that His church will survive until the end or not? I mean, and is it dependent upon defeating this bill, oh, by the way, that is already dead on arrival? We already see the numbers. I mean, I
know, that whole line, Christianity is a target to be obliterated or revived with homosexuality no longer a sin. Well, that's already happened, in circles. Humans no longer distinctly male and female. Already happened. Abortion, a right for females. Already happened. And believers painted into a narrow doctrinal corner if we let them do this. It's already happened.
Right.
All this stuff is not things that we can, I don't know that you can put it back in the bottle. This is Pandora's box. This is, and we've gotten what we deserve in this country by embracing those things. You know what? I don't know why we're surprised at that.
I don't either. It's certainly not single most important things. Not from my window.
Not priority number one.
No, nor should it be. I mean, we have families falling apart. We have much greater problems inside the body of Christ.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying I don't feel passionately about it. But if everybody goes the other direction, then like Brian said, I think I see that in Revelation. I think I see exactly that in the latter days. These are the people that'll be around you. That's what I see. I read that book and I see it's going to get even worse than it is now. That doesn't change anything about me or the church or about Christ. It has no impact on that. I'm not saying we just passively let it go, but like you said, this isn't an American, this isn't a Christian nation anymore, if it ever was one. So why don't we stop this rah-rah Christianity patriotism and get back to what the church is all about, which is separate from what the state is all about, you know?
Because the very ending, sorry, Brian, but the very ending is very Federalist Papers sounding, you know, with the we the people and the this is tyranny, using that word. Man, I'm super uncomfortable with that because I think the first time we, as Christians, people went along with something that was...
Yeah, I thought you were going to go that way, John. You know, we
should have expressed that before. But,
yes.
But, I mean, it's rebellion. And God was never in favor of that in the Scripture. I really have a hard time with that.
Romans 13.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and once again, we have this lady misunderstanding what the job and duties of these statesmen are up there. Because once we've said it, they view that we sent you to Washington to make this a Christian nation again. Well, no, not really. That was your deluded idea. Yeah. That's not going to happen because there's all these other people in the United States who voted for them too who didn't have that idea. And so it's made it impossible for your ideal to be achieved.
Well, what's great is, I mean, the sad thing is here is that your average American knows nothing about how government works. You know, and so these kind of candidates make big promises like we're going to do this, we're going to repeal Obamacare, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You can't. It's not the president can't do that. The House it's got to get through the House and the Senate to your desk before that happens. And so they make these wild claims. We're going to repeal Obamacare. Well, unless you have 67 senators, you're not. You know, and we're not even close to that. So they're ridiculous claims, and people are just like, oh, I like what that person says. You know. And we don't know anything about how government works. So there's a whole other piece of ignorance that's going on here.
Well, just to throw a card on the table just for a little, or a match on the fire or gasoline on the fire, imagine a scenario where the business says, are you heterosexual in your orientation? Yeah, I am. Well, I'm sorry, we don't have a job for you.
Yeah. Yeah, we like that as long as it's not on the other foot.
Right. Can you imagine the pushback? Yeah. No, this is Apple, and we've decided that we want to create a culture of homosexuality within our corporate. And because you like the persons of the opposite sex, I mean, you talk about a lawsuit.
And that may sound ridiculous, but what about? Do you believe in God? Are you a Christian? Then we can't have you here. You know, I mean,
where does it end?
If the shoe's on the other foot, that's the first thing that'll go.
And think about the complexities, because we have, you know, libertarians would say, well, that guy has a right to run his business like that.
And hire and fire whoever he wants.
And we would...
Well, and we would want that, right? We would want that. Yeah. So my point is, before you want prayer in school. No, really what you want is only Christian prayer in school. That's what you want. Let's be clear what you want.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, because the first time that Muslim falls on his prayer carpet in the hallway... towards Mecca, you're going to have a cow with that. So you know, be careful what you ask for right there. So in many regards, I just want a nation where I can preach what I want to preach, believe what I want to believe, and live my life.
Comfortably.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we certainly understand from the scriptural standpoint when the scripture talks about a man sitting down and counting the cost to build a tower. We understand that. But we don't extend these into these ideas where, look, we're counting the cost. There's no way we can win with this. So what we have to do is we have to be pragmatic, and we have to support this candidate because that's our best chance to, say, stem the tide or work over in this area on the budget.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, John, because I was thinking to myself, I'd be happy with any of the 10 candidates on the stage.
If
it's the alternative,
the alternative, yeah.
Right, absolutely. You know, really, I don't have to pick a candidate
even
right now.
Even Trump.
Right, 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 even Trump.
But what we've got in America is this idea that everything has to be perfect before I support or do this, because we're working in our mind towards this perfect America where every person's a believer, and like you said, the prayer in schools is Christian school, and the problem is that's not the reality that God dropped you in.
It was never the design for America. It was never the design.
And it never even really worked for Israel. Yeah. I mean, and it was
because fallen men were trying to do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if we were in fact supposed to be a Christian nation, then our Constitution failed miserably because there's not a single reference to Christ.
Yeah.
If our Declaration of Independence was supposed to set a Christian nation, then you missed it when you said Creator, okay? You should have been a little bit more specific. Mm-hmm. You got to know that the men in that room knew that Christ was the focus. We had preachers in that room, David. We had guys who knew their Bibles inside and out. But instead, they went with a fairly generic term.
Well, because I think they were aware of the fact that state church didn't work. They knew that very well from their experiences, that you couldn't compel somebody into salvation. And so if you want to go to church, then go to church. We're not going to force unbelievers into the church, because that's really what the whole point was. We're going to protect the church from the state corrupting it. You know, I want to keep the state out of the church. It was not the other way around, which is what the 21st century, you know, interpretation has become.
And the entire Massachusetts Commonwealth was indicative of the failure mm-hmm. of trying to legislate religion. I mean, that's why we have Rhode Island. I mean, and here we are as Baptists sitting around this room. We would not have been accepted into Massachusetts, okay?
No.
We believe in baptism by immersion. We don't think that infants are supposed to be there. We believe in believers' membership. We would not have been accepted in there.
Right.
We would have been in stocks. And we certainly don't keep the Sabbath around here. Not like they expected the Sabbath to be kept.
Yeah.
If there's something going on, whatever, you'll change your breaks in the middle of the afternoon if you feel like, and you don't feel like you need to fall on your face and confess your sin before God. Well, all of us would have been arrested in those days. So, you know, before we think that this was a Christian nation, be careful.
Yeah, and I would even up the ante, because I mentioned Israel before. I mean, God set that forth, and it didn't even work. Because what did? They fell in with the women of the place that they conquered, and they fell into sexual sin and got into idolatry, and then God had to punish them.
Yeah, you know, they always say, you know, you guys just want a theocracy. And it's like, no, I don't want anything close to theocracy until Christ is the one that's ruling. Then I'll be all about a theocracy. Because think about the best it was in Israel as a theocracy we could say maybe David and Solomon. And problems all over the place with David and Solomon. I mean, Solomon's off the deep end by the end of that whole thing, with 300 wives and 1,000 concubines and idols up on the hill. And, you know, and that was the best it could get.
That was the heyday.
That was the best it could
get.
I don't want any part of a theocracy until it's all done.
So the arrogance to think, well, we got it figured out better than that. It's just sometimes it's shocking to me that America has got it figured out better than those.
But this author thinks that we can legislate morality.
Yeah. And if we just put Christians in charge of the government, it would be a righteous government.
It would not.
It would not. And it's been proven over and over again. Read your Bible.
Yeah, I think that, of course, that's what Paul's telling us. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the law didn't do any of that. Oh, it just made it worse.
And I think we can start with Constantine's conversion and say, ever since the state got involved in Christianity, it has never done anything good for the church.
Perceived conversion, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't have hope that we're going to see Constantine in heaven.
Well, listener, thanks so much for listening. Please have a great day. And we appreciate comments.